Michael Cook with the Public Information Office at the U.S. Census Bureau. I'd like to thank you for joining us today for our webinar on 2010 Demographic Analysis Estimates. We're happy to have with us today Mr. Jason Devine, the Chief of the Methodology Research and Development Branch here at the Population Division. I'd like to say that Jason will be giving you a presentation, and afterwards we'd ask that you'd hold your questions for a Q&A following the presentation. Without further ado, I'll turn it over to Jason.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking your time to join us for our webinar. Hold on just one second here while we have the presentation brought up. So this webinar is being held to let the media know what to expect at the December 6th Demographic Analysis News Conference and Technical Meeting. Again, I'm Jason Devine. I work in the Population Division of the U.S. Census Bureau. For a little more than a year now, I've been working with a team of demographers to produce five series of demographic analysis estimates for comparison with the 2010 census counts. And as excited as we are about these estimates, I want to say again that these DA estimates are not 2010 census counts. I also want to say up front that we're not releasing the DA estimates during this webinar. I'll be releasing the DA estimates at the meeting on December 6th. Let me start by describing what demographic analysis is. Demographic analysis is a term used to refer to a set of methods that have historically been used to develop estimates of the population for comparison with decennial census counts. DA estimates are developed from historical vital statistics, estimates of international migration, and other data sources that are essentially independent of the census. These estimates are then compared to census counts, and differences by age, sex, and limited race groups are examined. As you'll see later in this webinar, the DA estimates have been a major source of information about each census and have documented the historical improvements that have occurred in each census. So at the heart of the DA methodology is this basic demographic equation. At any point in time, or for any area, the population, or P, equals the births, or B, that have occurred, minus deaths, D, with immigration added in, I, and emigration, E, subtracted out. So this is really easy to understand. If someone was here on April 1, 2010, they were either born here or migrated here. And if you know these four basic components, you know the size of the population. So again, I'll just go through that equation again. The population equals births minus deaths plus immigration minus emigration. So this seems very straightforward, right? Well, it gets a little more complex, but not much. DA estimates are developed using two methods, one for the population under 65 and one for the population 65 and over. For the population under 65, the demographic accounting equation is used. And the formula, again, is the population equals births minus deaths plus immigration minus emigration. It's also important to recognize that for the population under 65, births are by far the largest component of the DA estimate. Now, for DA in 2000, there were an estimated 247 million people under the age of 65, and 235 million births had been recorded since 1935. So for the population 65 and over, we use a different methodology. We are fortunate to have a very good administrative data set, the Medicare Enrollment Database. This file includes records for everyone who is enrolled in Medicare. By combining the number of those enrolled with estimates of the proportion of the population not enrolled in Medicare, developed from another Census Bureau survey, the current population survey, we were able to obtain an estimate of the total population age 65 and over. Now, through the next few slides, I'm going to provide a very high-level overview of the key data inputs for the components of the DA estimates. This will be very high level, but if you are interested in more details, I would encourage you to stay for the technical meeting following the DA conference on December 6th. I'll start with the vital statistics component. This includes historical vital statistics data from the National Center for Health Statistics. We start with births that occurred in 1945, or births for the cohort that will include 64-year-olds on April 1, 2010. We start with 1945 because, as I said, we have the Medicare-based estimates for the population 65 years old and older. Now, we know that not all births were registered in the earlier years. A lot of the births occurred outside of hospitals, and a larger number of these births were not reported to MCHS than those that occurred in hospitals. To account for this, we use estimates of birth registration completeness based on birth registration tests. There have been three birth registration tests. There was one in 1940, one in 1950, and one in 1969 that included births occurring from 1964 to 1968. This allows us to obtain an estimate of how many people were born in the United States. So if you think back to our demographic accounting equation, people also die, and again, we use data from the National Center for Health Statistics to subtract deaths from each birth cohort or each age group. But here's one of the benefits of having the Medicare enrollment data. Most deaths occur after the age of 65, and with the exception of infant deaths prior to 1960, we assume death registration has been complete since 1945. Now, our accounting equation also includes international migration. For DA in 2010, estimates of international migration between April 1, 2000 to April 1, 2010 were developed from the Merit Community Survey question on residence 1 year ago and year of entry. We developed two set of estimates for the international migration. Here are the two ACS questions. First, where did this person live 1 year ago? And also, when did this person come to live in the United States? Now, for the international migration component, our DA estimates start with the 2000 DA estimate, which includes historical estimates of international migration. And finally, for the population 65 and over, we use the Medicare-based estimates developed from the number enrolled in the Medicare enrollment database and the estimate of those not enrolled from the current population survey. That is our basic methodology. Now let me describe why historically we have only produced estimates by black and non-black. There are two primary reasons why the DA estimates have been limited to the black and non-black race categories. Information on race in the current Office of Management and Budget race categories is not available for all years and all states in the historical vital statistics data. Historically, data on white and black have been available in the vital records, and we know that the reporting of race for the black population and birth is fairly reliable. Whereas for the other race categories, such as American Indian, Alaska Native, Asian, and the Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islander, has not been so complete. Also, the 2010 census will include the option of selecting more than one race. The historical vital statistics do not include this option. And the uncertainty that this introduces into the classification of births by race limits the usefulness of DA estimates for the race categories other than black and white. Despite these limitations, DA has provided an historical record of the improvements in census coverage that have occurred since 1950. A lot of what we know about patterns of census coverage comes from the examination of the differences between the DA estimates and census counts. This table shows the historical differences between the DA estimates and the census counts by black and non-black categories starting with 1940. Let's take a few minutes to look through this table. What we're showing on the left is the DA estimate, the census count, the difference, and the percent difference. And then across the top, you have each year, each decade. Now I want you to focus on the column labeled percent difference, and you can see if I walk you across the table starting with 1940, how the difference has decreased from 5.4 to 4 to 3 to 2.7 to 1.2 and the 1.6 and then down below 1. This is for the total population. You can also look at the black population, non-black population in the rows below. This shows the DA estimates and how you can compare the DA estimates and get a difference between the DA estimate and the census count, and how this is documented, those historical improvements in census coverage starting with 1940. The DA has a long history as a source for comparison with the census counts. This decade, we are continuing this tradition and have made enhancements to the program. There were several areas that we focused on for DA in 2010. We tried to increase our collaboration with external experts. We're also releasing the DA estimates prior to the release of the 2010 census counts on December 6. We've conducted a component-based sensitivity analysis in a range that produced a range of DA estimates. We've used alternative approaches for assigning race to the birth records in DA estimates. We're using data from the American Community Survey to estimate international migration. We're also, for the first time, producing estimates by Hispanic origin, but only for ages under 20. Just like for the estimates by Black and non-Black, we are limiting the estimates to under 20 because of the limitations of the historical birth data. It wasn't until 1990 that all but two states collected this information on their birth records. We are holding the December 6th news conference and technical workshop to further our efforts to collaborate with external experts and to release the DA estimates prior to the Census 2010 counts to be as transparent as possible. So let me just go over the basics for the conference. Again, it will be held on December 6th. It will start at 10 a.m. It will be held at the George Washington University, the Elliott School of International Affairs. This is in Washington, D.C. Robert Groves, Director of the U.S. Census Bureau, will be presenting. I will be presenting the DA estimates. And we'll have demographers external to the U.S. Census Bureau who will be available for your questions. So what should you expect on December 6th? On December 6th, the Census Bureau will host a group of academics, external researchers, and federal employees to discuss the 2010 demographic analysis estimates. All of the participants are knowledgeable about demographic analysis techniques and know the data used to develop the demographic analysis estimates. Five series of DA population estimates will be released that will form the foundation for an initial demographically based assessment of the quality of the 2010 Census national count. A range of estimates is being provided to clearly communicate the uncertainty around the estimates. The day will include both a DA news conference and a technical DA meeting. Members of the press are invited to stay for the technical meeting, and participants in the technical meeting will be present for the media event. So what will be released on December 6th? Five series of DA population estimates by single year of age, sex, and race for the Black and non-Black categories. Five series of DA population estimates by single year of age, sex, and Hispanic origin for ages under 20. A description of how each series of estimates was developed and the individual components of each series of estimates, birth, deaths, international migration, and Medicare enrollment. And we realize that by releasing five series of estimates, it doesn't make your job any easier. So we arrived at the decision to release multiple estimates based on the input of demographers external to the Census Bureau and believed it's the best way to communicate what can best be described as uncertainty around the DA estimates. For 2010 DA, we are providing five series of estimates because it allows us to first vary only the assumptions about the estimates of international migration for the low and high middle series, and then to include additional assumptions about international migration and the other components to produce two outer series of estimates. Now, we'll consider each of these estimates that we release to be plausible. Uncertainty will vary across each of the DA estimates by single year of age, sex, and race, Black and non-Black, and Hispanic origin under age 20, and we'll show this on December 6th. And again, the five series of DA estimates were developed to more clearly communicate the uncertainty in the DA estimates. Just as with the past DA estimates that have been so important for helping us develop an understanding of each census by examining the patterns and the differences between the census counts and the DA estimates to effectively target specific groups each census, the five series of DA estimates that we will be releasing on December 6th will form the basis for these comparisons with the 2010 census. This brings us to the end of our webinar. I hope you found it informative. Before we take questions, let me summarize what I've discussed today. The DA event on December 6th will include both a news conference and a technical DA meeting, five series of DA population estimates by age, sex, race, the Black and non-Black categories, and five series by Hispanic origin under age 20 will be released. And just as a reminder, DA has three major components: vital statistics, which includes births and deaths, international migration, and the Medicare enrollment data. And again, five series of DA estimates will be provided on December 6th to provide more clearly communicate the uncertainty in the DA estimates. We have one additional slide with contact information.
Thank you, Jason. Operator, we're ready for questions and answers of reporters. Is there anyone on the line?
Oh, yes. If you would like to ask a question, please press star then one. You will be announced by name and organization. One moment, please. Again, star then one.
Are we ready?
Still getting them queued up. One moment.
Thank you.
Carol Morello, your line is open with Washington Post.
Thank you. Can you tell us how accurate this information you're releasing on Monday will be in being a preview for the state-by-state population breakdowns that will be released later in the month from the actual census?
Well, if I understand your question correctly, let me just first point out these estimates are national level, and we'll be providing a range of estimates, and we're not discussing that range today. That will be available and will be apparent from the five series estimates that we produce. We're also at this point not aware of what at least the team that's been working on the demographic analysis estimates is not aware of what the census count is. We've been kept separate from that operation, and we've focused mainly on producing those demographic analysis estimates. Once the census counts are released, then we will start the process of making those comparisons between the DA estimates and the census counts.
Thank you. Our next request, Tim Holman of Bloomberg News. Your line's open.
Yes, I was curious to know how you'll be distributing the information on Monday. Will it be on the census website immediately at 10 a.m., and will there be physical handouts at the media briefing, or will any of this be provided under embargo before the 10 a.m. briefing?
Yes, we will have handouts of all of the information provided at the press conference at GW, as well as an electronic press kit on our 2010 site that will have all the information there for people who cannot attend in person.
And that electronic press kit will be posted online at 10 a.m., is that correct?
Correct. Actually, that electronic press kit, it is going to be going up probably today, and you'll be able to see a taped version of the webinar that's taking place today. But then once we actually start and convene the presser on Monday, we will put that information up.
Thank you.
Our next request from Hope Yen, Associated Press. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. I was wondering if you could provide a little more detail today on what are some of the different assumptions that are behind the five sets of numbers being released. You mentioned high and low migration. And I guess I'm wondering also if there's any one scenario among those five sets that was the basis for the initial DA number that was put out for the 2000 census.
We are producing five series of estimates. We'll vary assumptions with each component of those estimates. Let me talk briefly about the international migration component. We're using two different methods for developing estimates of international migration, one based on the ACS year of entry question, one based on the ACS residence 1 year ago question. We're also including measures of statistical error in those estimates to produce a low series of international migration, as well as alternative assumptions about the different components of international migration. For example, we are including different assumptions about our estimates of the native-born migration. For the other components, we're including different measures of enrollment in the CPA or the Medicare enrollment database. And for the biostatistics data, we're including different assumptions about the completeness of the birth registration, the historical birth registration. We have revisited our base that we're building on for our estimates of international migration. We've looked at some of the assumptions that went into the DA estimates in 2000, and we varied some of those assumptions. We provided to the participants in the technical conference a paper that sort of goes through in detail all the different alternatives we've included in our DA estimates, the alternatives that make up those five series of estimates. And we can provide that on request.
Could I have a follow-up?
Yes, go ahead, Hope.
Okay. So is there, out of the five, is there kind of one that's sort of the starting point and then the other four are kind of refinements, if you will? Because when you put up a slide that compared previous censuses with the DA estimates, I'm wondering if, which was, it appeared to be a single number. And so I'm wondering out of the five if there's one that's kind of the starting point, perhaps arguably the privileged one, if you will, with the other four being, you know, refinements and adjustments to it.
Well, something to keep in mind about all the historical DA estimates that we provided in that slide, they all included multiple assumptions, and they all underwent revisions after the census counts were released. For DA in 2010, we're really just making those values and including those assumptions in advance. We do consider all the estimates we're producing plausible. More directly to answer your question, though, we started with the same assumptions about birth registration completeness for the middle series of DA estimates. In other words, the same factors that were used to correct for the under-registration of birth in the 2000 DA estimates are included in the three DA middle series. But then, as I've described, we've used different approaches for estimating international migration, even within those middle series. So we consider each of those three series, as well as each of the five series, equally plausible.
Okay, so the middle series, as you mentioned, is arguably the kind of the starting point that you and then you went off from there.
With regard to the use of the vital statistics, the birth data, yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Our next request, Tim Ermisch, KSTU-TV. Your line is open, sir.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Tim.
We were just wondering here when the final census count will be released with all additional information on housing, unemployment, marriage, income levels. We don't have a date on that.
And the Census Bureau hasn't released the date on that as of yet, but we can guarantee that before our congressional mandate of December 31st, we will be releasing our apportionment data. And then on a flow basis, starting in February of 2011, we'll be releasing the redistricting data and the PL data. We have on our website, for those of you who are unaware of the flow of the data from the 2010 census, we have a document that we can get to at the end of this Q&A. I'm going to give you some contact information that we can send you from Public Information Office that will spell out to you all of our data products at a glance and when they'll be released. And just to remind you that the data that is coming out is short form only. Anything else, Tim?
No. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next request from Joanne Franti, Modesto B. Your line's open.
Hi. Can you tell us how small of a geographic area you will be releasing data for?
Well, with regard to the demographic analysis estimates, we'll be releasing estimates for the nation.
Oh, just the nation, not even states.
These these will be national level estimates, but they'll include detail by estimates by single year of age, sex, and the DA race category. Those are the detail that allows demographers at the Census Bureau to then start to look at the census counts by, again, single year of age in those categories to start to understand the differences.
Okay, thank you.
Our next request, Haya El Nasser, USA Today, your line is open.
Yes, hi. Jason, can you tell us or help us understand why the Census Bureau decided to release the demographic analysis prior to the 2010 census results?
Well, I think our main motivation was transparency. We produce these estimates, and they're used in comparisons against the decennial census counts. And we wanted to provide them in advance to basically communicate the idea that we worked on these estimates independently. These are estimates developed by demographers at the Census Bureau with collaboration with demographers external to the Census Bureau. We're having the conference on December 6th with external demographers to basically come together and look at the data sources available that are outside of the decennial census to say what do those data sources and just using the state-of-the-art methodologies, what does that tell us about the size of the U.S. population? As well as making these estimates available in advance, it will make a really, I think, valuable, useful tool for data users and census planners to start to look at the census counts and to make sense of the differences when those counts become available.
Okay, thank you.
Our next request from Paul Moniz, The Oklahoman. Your line is open.
Thank you. I think my question has already been answered about the whether or not there's state-level data on the demographic analysis. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Next caller.
Carol Morella, Washington Post. Your line's open.
Hi. Scratch me, too. My question's been asked and answered since I punched in, so sorry.
Thank you. One moment. If you might have a question, please press star then one. One moment. Please press star then one. We'll announce your name and organization. If you might have a question, one moment. Hope Yen, Associated Press, your line is now open.
Yes, hi there. I was just trying to get a sense regarding the five sets of numbers. Do you should we expect there to be high variability in the range of numbers? And if so, I'm wondering how useful comparison that could be with the final 2010 count if it's such a wide range and the 2010 number falls somewhere in that range, whether that will really offer any guidance in terms of accuracy and whatnot.
Well, we believe the range is useful, and we believe it's small enough where it does provide a useful tool to compare against the census counts. And we do consider all the estimates to be plausible, which, as you can imagine, if you're looking at them in terms of demographic measures, that the range is only going to be so large because as the range gets larger, they start to become demographically implausible. So we believe our range is narrow enough to be useful, and I think as we bring external demographers in on December 6th, they'll agree with the range that we've developed, that it is an accurate, basically, assessment of what we know. And really, the value of the DA estimates and the comparisons lies in the patterns that we see and the differences between the DA estimates and the census counts. We're going to be looking at not necessarily levels, but the patterns by age and by sex in the DA estimates compared to the census counts to start to try and make sense out of the 2010 census counts.
Okay. So, I mean, is it fair to say that the ideal would be that the 2010 count number will fall within that range, and if it doesn't, then it's something that will be closely looked at as to why?
Yeah. So if the decennial census count falls outside of that range, and we won't know what it means until we conduct a careful analysis of the differences. Because the DA estimates are released by age and sex, we expect to see differences by sex and age, we expect to see ages where the census counts do fall outside of that range. It will be the patterns of differences, again, that will start to inform us about the 2010 census.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Our next request, Chad Day, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Your line is open.
Yeah, I just got a quick question. How do you express that reliability when you start looking at these 2010 census numbers, and when will you release that as far as, and how will that be expressed?
Well, I'll let the representative from PIO respond to, I assume you're asking about the decennial census counts, right, not the demographic analysis aspect.
Well, I'm talking about when you're judging the reliability of those decennial census counts compared to these DA numbers, how will you express that? And when you start to look at this, when can we expect to see something that would be as far as judging the reliability of that?
Well, we'll be making the estimates by single year of age available to basically external researchers to start to, as soon as the census counts become available, to look at those differences and start to try to come to understanding of those differences themselves. But also keep in mind, in 2012, results from the post-enumeration survey, which will provide additional detail, lower levels of geography, and for additional demographic groups will be available, and that will provide additional information and an estimate of the coverage of the 2010 census.
Sounds good. That's all I need.
Thank you very much. Our next from Adriana Gomez, El Paso Times. Your line's open.
Hi, yes. I just want to clarify that there are not going to be any county-specific county information, even though the American Community Survey usually analyzes county by county and sometimes school districts. Why is it that we're not going to have that in this demographic analysis?
As part of our, we call the post-central estimates program at the Census Bureau, we do produce population estimates for all those levels of geography. But as you can imagine, if you're producing estimates for those lower levels of geography, you have to account for an additional component that we don't include in our DA estimates, which is internal migration. And that just adds an additional level of uncertainty in our estimates. And when you're looking for a value that we can compare in terms of an estimate, that we can compare to a census count, and start to begin to make assessments of the quality of the census, the error introduced basically through estimating internal migration is such that it makes it hard to interpret those differences. That's why we focused and limited the estimates to the national level in these two race groups, now Hispanic and non-Hispanic, just because those are the levels that we can produce estimates that we're confident enough in that will make sense and will provide useful comparisons when you start to make those, you start to conduct that analysis with the census counts.
Just a follow-up question. Am I still on the line?
Yes.
Just a follow-up. Will for the 2010 census results, will we see numbers of international migration, domestic migration, since I did not see those questions in the form?
No, we will not.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. William Rufty, Ledger Newspaper. Your line is now open.
Yes, earlier you opened up an issue which has one of my editors very anxious. You mentioned that the redistricting data would be available in February. Will this be largely just the state data, or will this go to smaller regions down to the county for state legislatures to begin their redistricting?
Exactly, the latter.
Oh, great. That'll calm me down. Thanks very
great,
much.
Great. Glad we could calm you down.
Our next
anything question. Else?
Our next one from Peter Francis with the Advertising Age. Your line's open.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. A question. On your website for a long time now, there has been national level population projections, and they were revised for 2009 and released, of course, with single years of age, et cetera, and there were three different possible projections, three different projections there. Will you be providing any advice or be able to advise us as to how these new 2010, these five 2010 estimates might mesh with the most recent projection series that you have produced?
I also point out we have estimates of the population for April 1, 2010 available on our website, but our advice at this point would be to use our demographic analysis estimates for any comparisons you're going to be making with the decennial census counts. These are the estimates that we prepared specifically for this purpose. They're developed essentially independent of the census, and there's a lot of information that accompanies the estimates to help understand why there may be differences between these estimates and the census counts. So these are the estimates, and there's also information available on our population clock, which actually reflects the date beyond the April 1, 2000, reflects the date today, the population today. But we would suggest our advice would be to use these DA numbers when you're making those initial comparisons, looking for numbers, looking for other sources to compare against the census counts.
If I can ask a follow-up question, what I was trying to get at was you produce population projections out to 2015-2020 by age, race, Hispanic origin, and so forth. Will there be any advice or guidance from you on how these DA estimates might mesh with or alter how folks like ourselves could alter the population projections using these new DA estimates? Because my readers are interested in, you know, a forecast of what the population by age might be in 2015 or 2020, and how might these estimates inform that?
Let us consider that question, and keep in mind those estimates are based on the last census, so they're going to be built, and the projections are going to reflect the count from Census 2000. And we developed the DA estimates to be independent from the census, just for the purpose of comparison. But let us think about your question a little bit and discuss it internally to see what we could possibly provide along those lines.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our last question from Tim Holman with Bloomberg News. Sir, your line is open now.
Yes, hi. For the five categories that you'll be releasing or having the DA estimates for on Monday, is there a 2009 point of comparison for all five of those categories?
I'm not really clear on your question. The estimates, the reference date for the estimates will be April 1, 2010. Now, the way our demographic analysis process works is we do produce estimates for each year as we produce those estimates by what we refer to as cohortizing the population. So we age the population forward each year, subtract deaths, and add in estimates of international migration and emigration. But we will not be releasing a time series of estimates that will cover the dates between 2000 to 2010.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That concludes today's webinar. I'd like to leave you with a little bit of information to remind everyone that the webinar and transcript will be archived and placed online by close of business Friday for those of you who did not get everything or hear everything. Also, once available, we'll be sending out or resending the media advisory with that link, linked information, as well as information concerning a webcast of Monday's demographic analysis news conference and technical conference taking place at George Washington University. I'd like to encourage those that are within the D.C. metro area, if you can, come out to George Washington University. You'll have an opportunity to listen during the news conference and then after, during the technical conference, and talk to and interview Dr. Groves. Jason Devine will be there, as well as top demographers from across the country. And for more information, you can contact us here at the Public Information Office by dialing 301-763-3691 or shoot us an email to pio.2010@census.gov. Thank you, everyone, and this concludes our webinar for today.